Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
All right, let's pray before we take our seats, okay? Father, we thank you for our service today. We thank you for the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for our praise and worship to you. We thank you, Lord, that you're always with us. You never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have in America to gather together like this anytime we want without the fear of persecution or arrest or even imprisonment and death, as it is for so many around the world. We don't take these freedoms for granted, Lord. We thank you that we can assemble together like this to offer to you praise and worship and to be, again, reminded of your goodness in our life. And so this morning, Father, we thank you and we approach your word with reverence and respect. And we thank you that this living document here will be quickened to our hearts by the author, the Holy Spirit himself. And we will leave our service stronger than when we came in here today and better equipped to do everything you ask of us in these last days. So we thank you, Lord, for a great service. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody that agrees said together, amen. Okay, back up and park, folks. Find your seat. All right. I would just like to follow up with remarks that Pastor Dan shared as he introduced me and to you. First of all, this is our home church, and we're so thankful to God for that. We have been in relationship with this church since the mid to late 1980s. Long, long time. We've grown, our ministries have grown together here in the Inland Empire for this church, as well as our ministry overseas in the Philippines. And, you know, it's just a wonder and a chance to praise God for the good things that he's used us to do over these many years. We want to thank you again for your prayers and for your support, because your help, your support for what we do enables us to win thousands of people to Jesus overseas on the other side of the world. Since we started the ministry 36 years ago, we have been able to conservatively estimate that we have had the opportunity and the privilege of leading over 750,000 people to Jesus in the crusades conducted from then until now. So your support is a vital part of making all of that happen. Last May, Pastors Luke and Stacy were there. They joined us for our National Youth Conference, and they were there with us for that. And then shortly after they left, we started our annual summer missions tours, of which this is the first year that your church is formulating a group to go. And if you're interested to go, you talk to Dr. Fred Adams, and he can facilitate your request and help you take the next step and so forth. But after Luke and Stacy left, we did these, one in June, one in July, and one in August, and we were able to lead. Each of these is 6 days of outreach, 10 days on the calendar, day of departure to day of return, but 6 days in country for ministry. And in each of these three tours, one in June, one in July, and one in August, we were able to lead 6,271 people to Jesus in those 3 6-day events. And we're having a healing service tonight, and if you're interested to come, and you know, if you're sick, you should come, and if you're interested to come just to learn and to be a part of the anointing that will be present, I invite you to come. We invite you to come, because in those tour meetings that I just mentioned, those mission tours, not only did we lead those 6,200 plus people to Jesus, but we laid hands on the sick, and 2,213 people told us that after we laid hands upon them, they were either completely and instantly healed, or they saw immediate and significant improvement in their physical conditions. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, listen, you don't have to be a Rhema graduate, a graduate of this school, a graduate of anybody's school. Just make yourself available and God uses you.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. There was one girl, I'm feeling impressed to share this. One girl signed up a number of years ago, about 6 years ago, to go. She was 15 years old. And she had never passed out tracts. She had never gone to Bible studies. She'd never done anything in ministry, anywhere, and just felt like she needed to go. So she created her own Facebook page for this, raised money on her own, and generated enough support to go, and so she went. And so she arrived, and on the first day out, when we go out, you know, we pass out tracts, we invite people to come to the crusades, and so she went out with one of the groups, and on the first day out, the first meeting, the first person she prayed for was blind. And he was instantly healed. 15-year-old girl, never having passed out tracts, done anything. First person, first day out. So listen, if God can use people like that, God can use you.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about from the Word today. So again, thank you for your support and for all you do to help us obey God over there on the other side of the world. All right. How many have their Bibles or their Bible device, whichever you take and bring with you? Whichever you may have, I want you to start with me by going to Judges chapter number 8. Okay? And we're going to look at verse 21. And I am always reading from the New King James Translation unless otherwise indicated. Okay? So, Judges chapter 8 and the verse number 21. And I'll just read it, and then we'll come back and take a look at what we have read. It says, "So Ziba and Zalmunna said, 'Rise yourself and kill us, for as a man is, so is his strength.' So Gideon arose and killed Ziba and Zalmunna and took the crescent ornaments that were on their camels' necks." Okay, so if you read Judges chapters 6, 7, and 8, you'll read the whole story that brings us to this point here where we're reading in verse 21. These two kings, Ziba and Zalmunna, are captured in enemy soldiers. They were leading a portion of the Midianite army that had come against Gideon and the Jews, you know, and you know the story, the breaking of the lantern and all of that, you know, the sword of the Lord and Gideon and all of this. And those 300 men were used by God to rout this entire army of Midianite invaders. Now, these are the last two captured soldiers. Gideon has run them down, captured them, he's interrogated them, and he's about to execute them. So he tells his son Jether in verse 20 to do it, and Jether, being a youth, it says, would not draw his sword because he was afraid, because he was still a youth. So he's intimidated by the situation, and so Gideon himself kills these two condemned, captured kings. But before they die, they make a statement that is very, very, very applicable to us today, thousands of years later. And I have learned throughout my 36 years of public ministry and in reading the Bible from front to back, God uses people, God uses animals, God uses whatever He needs to use to get the truth across to people. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And in this case, He's using two condemned kings that are about to be killed to make a statement that we need to understand in the light of who we are today and in the last days, the last of the last days, this dispensation of grace that is coming to a close. Any day now, Jesus could return. So here's what they said. Ziba and Zalmunna said to Gideon, "Rise yourself and kill us," for here it is, "for as a man is, so is his strength." As a man is, not as a man will be someday, not as a man would like to be someday, not as a man is planning to be and going to school to become or waiting until they get to heaven. No. It said, as a man is right now, so is his strength. And we need to walk in the light of that. You can be who you are. It's been my experience in traveling around that a lot of people are not who they can be. They are somebody in Christ, but they're not living it out. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says that greater is the Holy Spirit in us than the devil who is in the world. But if you just watch Christians live their lives, listen to the things they say and the things they do, and their mental mindset, you'd never be convinced they understand any of that. But according to what these two kings said to Gideon before they were executed, as a man is, so is his strength. We can be who we already are. Yeah. You need to know that when you got saved, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, took residence inside of you. Yeah. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. We're never alone. Are you listening? I just feel so alone. Well, you're not, because God said so. First of all, He said, "I'll never leave you," and the Holy Spirit's living inside of you. I don't care how you feel about it. He's there. Amen.
Amen.
And you need to walk in the light of that now more than ever in these last days, because this world is desperately looking for hope, desperately looking for someone to lead them, desperately looking, and whether they know this or not, it is the body of Christ that they need to find. But when they find people claiming to be Christian, they need to find people who actually know who they are in Christ, so that we can rise to our level of potential. You will never rise to your level of design capacity in Christ until you first learn who you became when you got saved, when the Holy Spirit took up residence inside of you. Are you listening? It's an insult to the cross of Christ when Christians mumble, stumble, and grumble their way through life, complaining about all these things that they have authority over and could change if they wanted to.
Yep.
But because they weren't taught or because they rejected the things they were taught, they live this life far below design capacity. And that is a tragedy of epic proportions, spiritually speaking. Can anybody say amen? All right. Look with me at 1 Chronicles 28, verse 10. Let's look there for a minute. 1 Chronicles 28 and the 10th verse. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 10. This is the conversation between David and his son Solomon. David is about to die. He understands his time of departure has arrived. So he's giving his son Solomon parting instructions and words of encouragement and among many other things. In chapter number 28, we find verse 10, which is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible because it's so in your face and it's so easy to understand. It's not complicated. Listen to what David tells his son Solomon here. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Amen. That's it. See, whether you know this or not, when you got saved, you were drafted into the army of the Lord and you are in the construction business. We are commissioned by God to build the body of Christ, block by block, person by person, wherever we may go. The Bible talks about the fact that we are living stones that make up the body of Christ. It's a living organism. And because of the fact that we are living stones, block by block, increasing in size and number and measure of influence around the world, we need to know that whatever we're chosen to do and whatever we're supposed to build in His name or be a part of what's being built in His name, we need to be strong to do what has to be done, because the devil is not just going to stand back and let us go do whatever we want to go do.
That's right.
Are you listening?
Yep.
And we know Christians need to get beyond this Sunday morning mentality, this I'm going to sit and be entertained, I'm going to sit and be fed, I'm going to be stroked and blessed, and then I go home and disappear from Monday until Saturday and then reappear on Sunday the following week and just repeat the pattern year after year after year after year. We need to be players, not spectators. We need to be participants, not critics. We need to get out there and get involved, and that is everybody in this room, not just the people up on the stage, not just the people who go to school, but everybody who's born again and has the Spirit of God living inside of them. Can anybody say amen? God wants to use you.
Yes.
Because of who you are, not who you're gonna be, but because of who you already are. As a man is, so is his strength. Well, I didn't go to Bible school. Well, neither did Jesus. Didn't seem to bother God. Well, I didn't go to Bible. What about Peter? What about John? What about those guys he picked? They were blue-collar fishermen. They didn't go to school somewhere, have doctorates and diplomas and initials after their name. They were just common folk, tax collectors, fishermen, people like that. And they turned the world upside down. If they can do it, we can do it. With all we've got at our disposal in this day and age, all the technology and all of this stuff, praise the Lord, we can do whatever we need to do. But you need to be strong to do it. So what we're going to do for the rest of our message time this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 11. We're going to go here, read some verses from the 11th chapter of Luke, and find out more about who God made us to be when we got saved. Because as you are, so is your level of strength. You need to know who you are so you can rise above mediocrity. You can rise above Sunday morning Christianity. You can rise above all of the, you know, Sunday morning criticisms and get out there and do something meaningful for the Lord. I want to stand before the Lord someday and hear Him say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. How about you? Because you're going to stand there someday and your pastor won't be there and your husband won't be there. Your wife won't be there. Your friend, you'll stand alone. And he and you are going to go over your life day by day. And I want Him, when He's finished examining my life, I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. That's what I'm striving for. That's what I'm living for. How about you? I don't need to go through life down here with all the challenges and problems and then stand before the Lord, and instead of hearing, well done, good and faithful servant, I hear, well, what happened to you? Where'd you disappear to for 30 years? Well, you just don't know what I was going through, Lord. Oh, yeah, I knew. But I had promises that covered your situation. If you had read them and believed them, you could have overcome them all. So let's find out a few things about who God says we are. Because of a story here, an episode of deliverance, beginning in the 14th verse, we'll read to the end of verse 26. So let's go and read all along. Well, you read with me, okay? He was casting out a demon and it was mute. And so it was when the demon went out that the mute spoke and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, well, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all of his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who doesn't gather with me scatters. Verse 24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. All right. So what does God want us to see from this passage here? Let's start by looking at verse number 14. I'm going to break this little passage down into five segments for you, five parts. There's subparts to it, but we don't have time for any of that today. So I'm going to give you the main thrust, the main emphasis in the passage we're reading. There are five distinct parts. Part number one is verse 14. Verse 14 is the imposition of God's will by force. Imposing God's will by force. Like I said a few minutes ago, Satan is not going to just step aside and let us go do whatever we want to do for Jesus just because we want to do it. He's going to contest us every step of the way. We are always fish swimming upstream. Are you listening? It's never going to be a flow down here. There will always be resistance. You need to know that. But praise God, even though there is resistance, we cast out, we demand, we take, we throw out. Notice it says he was casting out a demon. Would you agree with me that the demon didn't want to be cast out? Why would he want to go? He likes it there. He's got this poor soul bound up. He's tormenting this person. They can't speak because he's a mute spirit. And he likes it there. Why does he want to go? Why does he need to leave? He likes it. He's happy there. He's tormenting this guy, and the guy can't set himself free. So, you know, he had to be thrown out. The word casting in the Greek refers to forcibly and physically throwing somebody out of the way. Okay? Like you have an intruder on your front porch and you walk out and grab them and throw them off your porch. Like that. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Okay, you don't ask for permission. You don't say, would you like to leave if you don't mind? No. You just tell him to get out in the name of Jesus. And he has to go. Does he want to go? No. But you enforce and you impose the will of God by force upon the enemy anytime you want. Anytime you want. You don't ask for permission. You just tell him to go. Amen. The imposition of God's will by force. Second part to this little story here, okay? Second part would be verses 17 through 20. Jesus starts talking about kingdoms. Okay, as he talks about this, you know, he incurs criticism when he sets this poor soul free. But in response to the criticism, he makes these statements about kingdoms. He says in verse 17, knowing their thoughts, he says to the critics, he says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every kingdom. And a house divided against a house falls. Remember that. That's a principle. Houses divided fall. Or you could say it this way. They are not able to rise to the level of potential. Okay? Now, the second part to this is the recognition that there are only two kingdoms. All right? If you keep reading, he talks about, well, he just says, okay, if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? So there's the one kingdom, the kingdom of the devil. But then he also says in verse 20, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So there's only two kingdoms here, friends. On the earth, spiritually speaking, the unseen world, there's only two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. In this world, in this dimension, there's lots of different kingdoms. Political kingdoms, financial kingdoms, there's nationalities, there's cultures, there's all kinds of kingdoms down here. But spiritually, the master world, the parent world, two spiritual kingdoms. God's kingdom and the devil's kingdom. And within God's kingdom, there's only two groups. This is not rocket science. You know, there's many denominations out there. But inside the kingdom, as far as God's concerned, from his vantage point, there's only two groups inside the kingdom of God. They who know who they are in Christ, and they who don't. And it's been my travels, my experience, and all my travels, 36 years worth now and counting, most people don't know who they are. They're in the group that doesn't know who they are. They don't know who they are, and they therefore cannot rise to their potential in Christ. I bet you drove past 15 to 20 churches to get here to service today, and I would bet money that most of those churches and most of the people in them, pastored by whoever, may be sincere people, but they don't know who they are. They're pastored by people who don't know who they are, and as a result, they're not nearly functioning according to design capacity in Christ. Thank God for this church.
Come on.
And churches like this one, where you are taught and you learn about who you are and what you can do and how you can torment the devil rather than having the devil torment you. Amen. Let him run him off instead of letting him run you off. Amen. And don't be kind about it either. Well, people are going to be insulted and they'll be offended. Yes. Absolutely. That comes with the territory. Listen, if you can't think of at least a half a dozen people off the cuff that hate your guts because you're Christian, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something's not working right here. I mean, you're going to make a lot of friends, but you'll make a lot of enemies along the way, too.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
We tell people straight up, you know, there's a heaven, there's a hell. There's a right, there's a wrong. When you die, you go up or you go down. There's nothing in between. If you accept Jesus, you go to heaven. If you reject him, you go to hell.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe that. Well, go to hell. This isn't hard to understand. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad I'm not your pastor? Praise the Lord. All right. Okay. So, leads us then to the third part from the passage we read. Okay. Spiritual identities are confirmed by comparison in the story. When Jesus finishes talking about the two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God, he shifts gears and starts talking in verse 21 about two different kinds of people. Notice, verse 21, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all of his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. So two people, all right, two kingdoms and then two people now. So by comparison, we need to identify who these people are, all right? Now remember, read verses in context. We started with verse 14. Verse 14 is Jesus setting somebody free, doing ministry work. The same kind of stuff we're supposed to be doing in his name. It's called the Great Commission. We go into all the world, we preach the gospel, we lay hands on the sick, we cast out devils, on all of that, okay? So now, who are these two people described in the passage here from Luke chapter 11? Who's the strong man? In the context of the story, the strong man is the devil. Okay, notice. There's a strong man. He's fully armed. He guards his own palace and his goods are in peace. Okay, what's the palace? The palace would be his kingdom. The kingdom Jesus just referenced in the previous verse. It's the kingdom of darkness. That's his palace. And who, and it says his goods are in peace, who would that be? Or what is that? Or who is that? Those are the people that are bound in darkness. The lost. The ones that are going to hell. The ones that can't set themselves free. The drug addicts. The porn addicts. The alcoholics. The people that can't get free from the flesh. Are you listening? Listening. They are his goods, and they are in the palace, and he's fully armed, and they're guarded, and they can't set themselves free until the second person comes. And the second person is the stronger man. Now, who is that? Well, in this story, it was Jesus. He cast that spirit out. Did the spirit want to go? No. The spirit was evicted by force when Jesus told him to come out, And he had to go. He was thrown out. Who is that now? That's us. Jesus is in heaven. He's at the right hand of God. But we now are authorized to operate in his name. And when we operate in the name of Jesus, it's the same as Jesus himself being here. We're the stronger man. You're the stronger man or woman of God. You need to act like it. Talk like it. Quit groveling around, stumbling and bumbling along from crisis to crisis, the crisis of the month, the crisis of the week. Get beyond all of that. Live your life in the light of who you became when you got saved. As a man is, so is his strength. Amen. On your worst day, On your worst day, you're more than a match for Satan. On your worst day, you can still whoop him up one side and down the other. Why? Because you can. You're the stronger man. You're the stronger woman. You don't need someone else. You go do it. You got the name of Jesus. You got the word of God. You throw him off your porch. You throw him out your marriage. You throw him out from your family. Quit allowing him to torment you. Quit allowing him to steal from you. Slap him around a little bit. It feels good. It feels good. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm the stronger man. You're the stronger man. You're the stronger woman. Act like it. Talk like it. Praise God. God's not embarrassed with it. We're going to offend people along the way. Quit being so concerned about offending people, you end up offending God. Jesus offended a bunch of people. Didn't seem to bother God. And I'm not going to stand before my critics someday. I'm going to stand before God. So will you. Amen. Really doesn't matter if you like me or hate me. I tell people, like, love me or hate me, but make up your mind. The point is, you know, it doesn't really matter what people think about us. It only matters about what God says. We'll stand before his judgment seat. No one else's. All right. Look with me at Matthew 11, 12. Let's let our video find folks back there. Put that one up on the screens. Matthew 11, 12. All right. Here's what this says. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Right, that's us. We take what we want. We don't ask for permission, we take. Notice Jesus mentioned the stronger man taking whatever he wants from the strong man. Take. We don't ask, we take. Why? Because we can. We just kick the door down and tell people you can come out in the name of Jesus. And the devil has to stand there and let it happen. He can't stop it. He can't stop it. It's not by how we feel, it's what God declared us to be. The stronger man, the stronger woman, praise the Lord. The kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. All right? Resistance and violence will be encountered. But that's okay, because Jesus promised that the gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. Amen. The devil can huff and puff. He cannot blow our house down. Never, never, never. Ever. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, God, in verse chapter 16, verse 7, God hunts, looks to and fro across the whole world, looking for people to show himself strong to. I would like to think that when he finds me, he's got someone he can work with. How about you? I'd like to think that when he finds you, he can say, yeah, I can work with that person. They know who they are. They know what they can do. They know the power and potential that rests and resides inside of them by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Greater is the Spirit of God in them than the devil who is in the world. Are you listening? That's you. Oh, I don't feel like it. Who cares? Are you listening? All right. Number four. Fourth part, the 23rd verse. Luke 11, 23. This statement seemingly on the surface doesn't fit. Looks odd. It doesn't seem to fit the flow of the conversation there between Jesus and his critics. Okay? In the 23rd verse, you know, he just seemingly says this, and then you're thinking, well, what's this here for? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. All right? If you're not with me, you're against me. If you don't gather, you scatter. What's that all about? What's that doing there? Remember now, the Holy Spirit is not a schizophrenic author. Everything is there for a reason, and there are no chapters and verses in the original Greek. Amen? Jesus did not walk down the road saying, verily, verily. Chapter 17, men, turn to verse 9. He didn't talk that way. There were no chapter and verse markings. That stuff was added centuries later. Okay? So we're still reading, we're still talking, and we're still responding to Jesus setting that man free and now incurring the critics, calling him, you know, well, you're from Beelzebub and all of this. He says, listen, if you're not gathering with me, you're scattering. If you're not with me, you're against me. So, in the light of the strong man being kicked around by the stronger man, what's this mean? The Holy Spirit wants us to know, wants us to understand that if you don't live like the stronger man or the stronger woman, if you don't know who you are a spiritual liability, not an asset. You're not out there helping, you're actually a hindrance. You're a problem, not a solution. You're the counseling session that never goes away. You're the person that just keeps coming back to counsel for the same stuff over and over and over and over and over, year after year after year. And people who become babes in Christ when they get saved, stay babes in Christ for the rest of their time on earth. That's what he's talking about. Listen, we don't need spiritual liabilities. We need spiritual assets. You need to be an asset, not a liability. You need to be a solution to someone's life, not a problem, not another headache. Amen. If you're not with Jesus, you're against him. You're not working with him. You're actually, you know, hindering the process because you're dead weight. You know, people that complain. The Bible says do all things without murmuring or complaining. There's professional complainers in the body of Christ. They're never satisfied with anything you do, no matter what you say. The service is either too short, too long. It's too hot. It's too cold. I don't like the way the pastor dressed today. On and on we can go. Stuff that doesn't matter to a spiritual hill of beans. You know, I wish in the hospitality room they'd put in some sprinkled donuts, but they never do it. I just don't know what's going on in the church. I just don't understand what's happening over there. I want some donuts with sprinkles on top. I'll give you a donut you'll never forget about. Praise you, Lord. You'll never forget the donut I give you. But the point is, hey, you need to remember, you know, let's be spiritual assets, not liabilities, praise God. Let's be a blessing, not a problem. I mean, when the pastor sees you on the list of people he needs to see today for counseling, let him not roll his eyes and say, oh dear God, they're back again. No. Let's grow on, move past that. Praise the Lord. Let's get the binky out of our mouth, put our helmet back on, pick up our weapons, put on our uniform, get out there and do something meaningful for the Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And do what you have to do by force. I was reminded, I shared this in the other services. We had a witch doctor one time try to wreck our meetings in the Philippines. Imagine the audacity of a witch doctor showing up and trying to mess up my meeting. But there she was. We had a song service, you know, people had been singing and there was a crowd of about 300 to 400 people there, you know. This was in the city of General Santos on the island of Mindanao. And so, you know, there they are and we're going to preach the gospel and it's a platform like this. It's a public park, you know, a bright sky above us. And all of this, and she's there. I didn't know who she was until she did what she did, but I'm sitting in the back waiting for my turn to come up and speak. The singers get done, the musicians are finished, they get off the stage, and so we've got about 5 or 6 microphones up here unoccupied where, you know, they were, and then I'm going to get up with my interpreter and address the crowd and preach the gospel. So I'm getting my thoughts put together, and I'm about ready to stand up, and this young lady, about 23-ish, like that, mid-20s, runs up on the stage. A stage a little higher than this, about four feet up maybe, like this, and starts putting spells on people, pointing at people and, you know, talking in weird tongues and languages, putting spells on people. They know who she is. You know, you talk about things like this to American Christians and they stare at you like you just got off the bus from Mars. They don't know who you are and what's going on. But in the world out there, you know, this stuff's real. Third world stuff, they know who she is and they know the power she's wielding. So they start to scatter. And I was working with volunteers at that time because it was early on and I didn't have my own crew with me that I train and teach. So they didn't know what to do. They were well-meaning people. They were there to help. They were volunteers, but they were just unable to cope with the situation. So they're all turning and staring at me saying, what do we do? What do we do? So, you know, this is not the time to go behind the palm tree and pray for 45 minutes in tongues for guidance from God. You better know who you are in Christ, because by the time you come out from behind the palm tree, you know, half the people on the front row are dead. It's pouring rain and your meeting is a bust and you can't let that happen. So God said, deal with this. Do something. Do something about it now. Okay. So I walked up behind this girl. She was facing the crowd, you know, had the microphone in her hand. I grabbed the microphone, took it out of her hand, tossed it over to somebody, and grabbed her by the shoulders and spun her around so she's facing me, face to face. Grabbed her by the front of her blouse, lifted her up off the ground, and threw her off the stage. Well, that wasn't very friendly. That wasn't very loving. That wasn't very spiritual. No, it wasn't any of the above, but it was very effective. Yay, verily. Yep. Listen, we never saw old Honey Buns again for the rest of the crusade. Gone. AWOL. Absent without leave. She's gone, baby. Do what you have to do. All right, which leads us then to the fifth and final part to our little passage here today. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 24 through 26. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it, notice, swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter there and dwell, and the last state of that poor soul is worse than it was at the beginning. Okay, last part to the passage we read. There is always going to be a counterattack. Get ready for it. If you don't become the stronger man or the stronger woman of God, you are vulnerable. And the devil will come back in. And if he gets back in, you're going to be worse off at the end than you were at the beginning. Don't let that happen. I've seen it happen. I've seen people who got saved and spirit-filled and set free. They're on the front row singing and dancing and praising. They got a Rapture Airlines t-shirt on, you know. They got 17 translations in the little antenna to catch the vibes of the Holy Ghost, you know, the whole nine yards. They're so in fire for God. But watch, over years, two, three, 4 years, first row, fourth row, seventh row, back row, in and out the door.
Yep.
Listen, not only does God have your whole life to work with, but so does the devil. And what he can't do today, he'll come back around tomorrow and try again. And if you knock him off your porch tomorrow, he'll come back around the next day and try again. You need to shore up your defenses. And the way you shore up your defenses is with knowledge, knowing who you are in Christ and quoting the verses just like Jesus did. As a man is, so is his strength. So listen. It says he returns to the house from which he got thrown out. And when he comes, notice, he finds it swept and put in order. What's that mean? It means the person's life is clean. He's been set free. He's got his right mind. You know, he's coherent. He knows where he is. He's saved. He's got his life turned around. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. But the front door is open. The house is swept and put in order, but the front door is wide open. So, of course, the devil's just going to walk back in there and just tear everything up like he did before. Okay? Listen. When you came to church today, did you not lock your house? Did you not lock it when you left? And when you parked your car, even here or anywhere, do you not lock it? Why do you do these things? Because there are thieves. There are people out there who will steal what belongs to you. And the Bible says the devil is a thief, taking what does not belong to him. He'll take your health. He'll take your money. He'll take your marriage. He'll take your children. He'll take your business. He'll take your job. Whatever he can take, he'll take. If you leave the door open. But when he comes around and you know who you are and you slap him around for a while in the name of Jesus, he'll go somewhere else. Because he knows you know who you are in Christ. You may not look like it, you may not think you are, but you are a stronger man, a stronger woman for God. Act like it. Talk like it. Amen. In the Philippines, when my pastors come, you know, like as Pastor Dan said, we have 200 churches, more than 200, but as a result, I pastor pastors. That's my job. I cover pastors. That's our covering and whatever. So this usually happens just the first time. After that, they don't do this because they learn by experience. But usually when people first join the organization, then they come in moaning and bemoaning their situation and how hard it is. Oh, Pastor Mike, you know, it's just so difficult. We've got witch doctors. We've got communist rebels. We've got Muslims in our community. We don't know. It's just so hard. Wait a minute. Stop. Who told you it would ever be easy pastoring churches? Who told you ministry would be easy? Who told you you could just go do whatever you wanted to do for God and there'd be no resistance applied against you? Whoever told you this? It didn't come from me. If you want to stay in this organization, you got to be resilient. Because I'm going to put you on the front lines and you're going to get shot at. And you're going to get hit. And you're going to wound and be wounded and you're going to bleed. We'll bleed with you, but we'll never leave you. We'll never forsake you. I want you to get back out there. Quit whining. Quit complaining. Turn your rear end around. Get back out there in the name of Jesus and go do something for the Lord. Be warm, be filled, and be gone. In Jesus' name, of course, in love. Yes, in love, be gone. It's just so hard. Okay, if it's just so hard for you, Pastor, here's what we'll do. We'll pray that you die. Dying is easy. Go to heaven. Go be with Jesus. You'll get your mansion. You'll be on the streets of gold. You'll see the angels. You'll see the Holy Spirit. You'll see everybody up there, all your friends and family. Go home. Get out of the way. Let us go do something for God. Here, the Bible says, if two agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them. So here, take my hand. Let's agree right now. You fall over and we'll just bury you and you can go on home. You'll run and jump and dance and clap with Jesus and we'll go on and do things for the Lord without having to drag you around for the next 30 years. Go on. Go on. Go on. Oh. Well, that's not walking in love. Au contraire. You don't love people by not telling them the truth. You love them by telling them straight up what is the truth. There it is. That's love. Tell them up. Tell them up. All right. I don't know about you, but I'm happy. I feel good. Could run around the parking lot for a while, but no, we need to move on. Did this bless anybody today?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Good. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.